ask it in prayer, listening. How to hear God. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is Quiet Time Coaching, episode 253. And it's another episode of this Quiet Time Coaching series on the book called How to Pray by Pete Gregg. I've been reading it in conjunction with the Renovare Book Club, and links to that are in the show notes. And we're on to the ninth chapter of the book now. And if you haven't bought a copy of the book, I'd encourage you to do so. You don't have to be able to get something out of this podcast. But I thought the book was tremendously helpful to me personally, and I certainly can recommend it to anybody who wants to deepen their walk of their prayer, their relationship with God. So last week, we looked at contemplative prayer, how to meditate on God, and today we're talking about how to listen. Actually, talking about how to listen doesn't sound right, does it? But that's what we're going to try and do. But let's first of all think about what it means to discuss listening prayer. Søren Kierkegaard said this: "A man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking, but he became more and more quiet, until he realized that prayer is listening." One of the reasons we talk about times of quiet or quiet times is not just that we're trying to find somewhere quiet, but also that at times it's appropriate for us to be quiet. Learning to listen. Do you believe that listening prayer is possible? Is it something you desire? As somebody said, everyone starts out in life trying to pray, but only those who learn to listen become fluent in its form. If God wants a relationship with us, wouldn't it make sense that he would speak? I mean, Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Now, of course, there are charlatans, there are those who are manipulative, and there are people who are frankly disturbed, who think they hear the voice of God, when in fact they don't. However, should such extremes prevent us from learning how to listen? So let's go on to note the ways in which Pete Gregg in his book suggests we can develop this, what I would consider to be a vital spiritual skill. We've got five suggestions here, five things to think about. And just see which one might land for you as something that you think is significant. Firstly, hearing God in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 3. "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. As we devour the Bible, it somehow helps us to hear the voice of God. Surely all scripture is God-breathed, right? 2 Timothy 3:16. It's also living and active. Hebrews 4:12 and 13. And so if it's living and active, if it's God-breathed, it speaks to us if we're listening. The Bible is designed to be one of the ways God communicates to us. It's not just a set of doctrines and propositions, it is living. What it says to you and me depends upon whether we are listening. So the big tip from this part of the chapter is to pray through your Bible reading. Don't just read it. Pray through it. Secondly, hearing God in visions and dreams. Acts 2:17. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Acts 2:17. And as Pete says in the book, God also speaks through creation. Psalm 19 is wonderful. He speaks through our consciences, 1 Timothy 1. And sometimes in the Bible, through angelic visitations, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, and preaching, Romans 10, 14. And even on one occasion, through a talking donkey, right? Numbers 22, verse 28. Of course, dreams and visions and prophecies are highly subjective, so we must, as Pete says, weigh them against scripture, apply common sense, and if they are directional, we should also seek wise counsel. And I like the fact that Pete doesn't say we should just accept any vision, any dream that we receive or anybody else says they've received on our behalf, we need to weigh it up. Now, in the tradition I inhabit, the Christian tradition that is where I am, it's often perceived as a rather suspect to claim that one has had a vision or a dream from God. And I'm not sure exactly personally how to weigh all of that up. But what I do know is that God has more than one way to get his message to me and to you. Third way to hear God. Hearing God in counsel and common sense. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Big tip here, I think, is to be talking to the evidently godly when we're spiritually confused. You know, sometimes you think God's saying this or that, or you think he wants you to be directed in this or that direction. Perhaps you had a dream. What do we need to do? We need to go to people of wise counsel and who have plenty of common sense. Who are the people around you who you would say, and others would say, are evidently godly, mature, spiritually minded people who can help you when you are a little spiritually confused and not sure if you're hearing the voice of God? The fourth way of hearing God is in personal reflection. Personal reflection. In Luke 2:19, what does it say about Mary? It says that she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Pondered them. Isn't it often the case that God's voice comes to us at times and ways we don't expect? I mean, take Elijah. After the fire came a gentle whisper. And it was in that whisper that the voice of God spoke and Elijah was able to hear. Not what he expected. The big tip in this part of the book, in this part of the chapter of the book, that Peter gives us is to try journaling as a way to process what comes to you during your times of personal reflection. So you might be sitting quietly, doing your best to pay attention to what God is trying to teach you. Afterwards, why not write down what you heard, what you thought, what you felt? That can be very helpful. And the fifth way to hear God is hearing God in action. Luke 11, verse 28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. One of the great joys of the Christian life is to see your obedience produce the kind of fruit that God has planned. And when we see his hand at work in this way, it's like we're hearing him. We do what he says. We see the fruit and we hear him. Well, just to finish off, I'm going to quote something that Pete puts in the book by Christina Rossetti, who wrote this. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Grant us ears to hear, eyes to see, wills to obey, hearts to love. So what stands out to you from this whole topic of listening prayer? Do you find that to be a natural thing? Something rather unnatural? Do you think it's something to grow in? Do you feel that it's something that can be misused? How might your prayer life grow? How could your relationship with God deepen if you could learn how to practice listening prayer? Is there anything that's getting in the way? I would love to know what you think. Why not try some listening prayer for the next 7 days? Next week, we're going to go on and look at confession and reconciliation in prayer. But in the meantime, if you have any comments about today's episode, then please do leave a message wherever you hear this recording, or you can send me an email, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, or you can leave me a message on my website. And by the way, if you sign up on my website for my newsletter, then you will get a free ebook on how God grows his people. It's about spiritual disciplines, and I think you'll find that useful. If you know anybody that might benefit from this recording, do please pass it on. And I do hope and pray that in your times of quiet with God over the next little while, that you'll find that you're not only talking to God, you'll find yourself listening. And indeed, as you find yourself listening, you'll begin in a fresh way to hear God. Until the next time, take care and God bless.